Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just one minor hand to join us, we have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, the call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And this week, actually, we are also doing a co-broadcast on YouTube Live. I'm still figuring out what we're going to do for the future. We might switch to YouTube Live. I'm not sure, but we'll discuss that later in the podcast. When it comes to contact information, just in case you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall. At gmail.com. Also, want to reach me via Skype. My Skype ID is Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account for the podcast is SFUOnCall, SFUONCALL. Also, my personal account is Paul Franz, so you can follow me there. It's on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. It's PaulFranz. Just warning you, a lot of it's not about SFB. Most of it, it's about, you know, a lot of likes for Catholic stuff, and also I follow a lot of tech, so that's two of my passions. Also, I have a tertiary account which is Franz Games, where I announce things like news and different client updates when it comes to Starfleet Warlord and SFB Online, of course FedCom Online. And of course, a lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADV this week. Announced for next week, September 4th, will be the 285th scale, Federation E3 Heavy SWAC Shuttle. So be ready for it to be up on Shapeways next week. Steve Cole is busy working on Cabal's Log number 53, blogs, and also the art for the Gorn Master Starship book, and just going through a lot of medical tests for a procedure that's going to happen in like 45 days, of course. Keep him in your prayers that everything will go fine. I know it's beforehand, but hey, I think that's a good idea. Anyway, going back to ADB, we got, of course, Steve Petrick. He's working on the Master Starship book himself. Also, Gene's busy working on, of course, Facebook. And, of course, keeping the spam assault down to a dull roar on the BBS. And, of course, dealing with customers and also doing all kinds of marketing stuff. Of course, that includes Facebook and Twitter. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments. Of course, we have the Master Starship tournament. That is stalled at the moment, and please, people, get going on that game. There's five games done. There's still to be done in round one. In round two, there's only one game played. How long has this been going on? This is how many months now? So get to it. That's being run by Andrew Koch. Also, Rat 48, run by Ron Brimeyer. Things haven't done anything since last week, but we did have some progress. People, come on. Let's get these games done. You know, what I have to do is shut down SFB Online just to, you know, warn, you know, threaten I'll do it. You know, I know this sounds kind of silly, and I agree. It's over the top. When it comes to the library report, unfortunately, no progress. There have been some updates for the Zinti light cruiser and some other Zinti ships. Also, three Klingon ships have been updated. They've been fixed up, and hopefully that will solve the problem. I know there was a reported problem with the Zinti light cruiser, and hopefully Frank solved that problem. I have not actually checked it myself. So that leaves our completed conversion still at 2,426, with yet to be converted at 906, leaving the percent complete at 72.8. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, And there's Matt and Russ are sitting in the chat room. I don't see Dave, and that doesn't surprise me because I don't think Dave said he would be here. And for those few individuals, so those hearty few, we do have a current YouTube live stream. Of course, you don't know this unless you're actually watching the Talk Show live stream, which actually, at the moment, I think that's only two people. I have two viewers. I think both of those are actually the people in the Talk Show room. So, whatever. At the moment, I'm still debating on how to do this. Now, let's go through that real quick, and then we'll get into Andromedans. Number one, obviously, this week I'm testing out YouTube Live. Okay, so that's for YouTube Live. We are, I'm doing a co-broadcasting. I'm not sure if I'm going to continue doing a co-broadcasting, and I'm going to choose either Twitch or I'm going to choose YouTube. I haven't figured that out. I will figure that out. Now, because the big question for me is, I don't mind this co-broadcasting stuff. I really don't. It seems to work well. YouTube Live seems to do exactly what I want it to do. Now, obviously, the one thing that I have not checked into for YouTube Live is about chat room. And that is, obviously, has a chat room. You can do chatting there. And the big issue, obviously, is that if we use both TalkShoe and either Twitch or YouTube Live, is chat room. Which one do you go to? You know, and I think it's kind of silly to have two chat rooms because Lord knows I don't want to have two chat rooms. And I'm sure you don't want to have two chat rooms because if you join us, like, let's say somebody joins in the talk show and they are in that chat room. Anyone who is in that chat room, you won't see any of the chats if you log into YouTube Live. At the moment, YouTube Live is basically, it's just for broadcasting. It's listening to my lovely voice. But I don't like that. As I'm sure that a lot of you know, if you listen to me long enough over the past 10 years, you know the original reason I created this community, created this podcast, this live podcast, because that's important, was to have a time that people could set aside on Thursday nights. I figured that'd be, 9:30 was a pretty good night. Thursdays, most time nothing's happening on Thursday night. Most time it's Monday or Fridays. So, most people are available, number one. Number two, 9:30 is as good as I can get when it comes to, I'm on the East Coast. 9:30 is late enough that I should be able to catch those individuals on the West Coast of the United States, Pacific time, and have them join us. Because that'd be 6:30 their time. So it's just not too bad. It's, if you have supper with the family and all, you might be missing it. But if you eat a little bit early, just for one day, so you want to join us, you can do that. Obviously, if you are joining us from you could join us from Australia, because actually India is better, because India would be around, I think it's 13 and a half hour difference, which would make it some, I think it's whether that makes it 10 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning. One of those two. But still, of course, that's Friday. Just to let you know, they are ahead of us. Now, Europe, I'm screwed. There's only one person I can imagine who actually would possibly join us. Majid Farsi. He's the only guy that I know, he actually will work like in the middle of the night. I've seen him play at like 2 o'clock in the morning, his time. And I'm going, are you nuts? But he plays. He wants to play that badly. So he does. And I think that is great. I obviously, it makes it hard for him. And I will have to agree. I feel sorry for him, you know. That's why I think for him the best days are Saturdays or Sundays to play, to have it so that, you know, he can do it like late in the afternoon. If you can do it in the morning, he can do it in the afternoon and you both are happy. Or you can do it in the afternoon, he can do it like in the evening and you both are pretty much happy. You know, it's reasonable reasonable schedules here. But anyhow, the whole idea is community. Now, if I have two different chat rooms, I don't have a community. What I have is two separate chat rooms. Now, obviously, the beautiful thing about TalkShoe is that it is our conference calls done. Just to let you know, the one thing I did do this week, I forget if I did it last week right after the show or I did it like Friday night, might have been one of those two. But I did it last week where I checked on what free conference calls is there. Now, the funny part about that whole thing is that one of them I looked up was because I have, just to let you know, a little behind the scenes things. I run a little snitch because I actually like to know what my browser, not the browsers, but mainly other programs, what are they connecting to? You know, I like to know this. So, little snitch was telling me that, okay, when I bring up TalkShoe and it tries to connect, what is it trying to connect to? It's trying to connect to the free conference. I think it's free conference call. It's what it's .com. It's like, cool. So that's actually one of the ones I looked at. And actually, we could actually use that. I just have to get a phone number and a meeting ID, and I have to check to see how that would work. So if we would want to switch off of TalkShoe, we could actually use free conference call as the call center to have us all call in. I can actually call in to the conference call using whatever I want to use. And previously, I tried something earlier tonight and it didn't quite work and it was a pain in the butt. I got to see if TalkShoe has improved that. Or if I can just disable that feature. And that is that TalkShoe automatically picks up on the caller ID of the phone. Since it picks up the caller ID of the phone, I have another registered account with TalkShoe called SFU On Call Host. And that's what it picks up my cell phone as. Because I have an iPhone and I've got a Mac. So what I was doing is I was calling the iPhone from my Mac and actually recording that on my Mac. So it's really cool. It was working great. Problem is that it was coming up with SFU On Call Host and you have to actually log in as the host to actually start the recording. Actually have it so it actually has any sound coming out. Because I tried it earlier and Russ said, oh no, it doesn't work. It's like, okay, crap. So I have to go back to Skype, which I was trying to avoid. The only reason I was trying to avoid Skype is because of the whole thing it does with the microphone. It just drives me absolutely insane. Even though, actually, it looks like they brought the feature back is one thing it looks like they did with Skype, which is the ability to turn off the automatic gain of the microphone. Now, last time I tried that sucker, it still did it. I turned it off and it still basically ignored that setting. So it automatically would still adjust the microphone setting. So we'll just have to wait and see if the Skype will do the same thing this week. In the meantime, that's a quick update. I still haven't figured out exactly what we're gonna do. If we're going to actually abandon TalkShoe altogether, because as I said, when it comes to the chat platform, we need a unified chat platform, period. And from my understanding, people have problems logging in to TalkShoe. Now, here's the thing that kind of bugs me, and I think it would bug you too, which is people were having problems, but they neglected to tell me. And because there's one person I saw on the Starfleet Universe discussion board. And he said, oh, yeah, I tried a few months ago and I couldn't log in. It didn't work. A couple months ago, I forget the exact phrase he used. But, tried to use it. It didn't work. Okay, that's fine. And the reason why you didn't tell me? Because, see, here's the thing. For me, if the platform is not working for people, if I am cutting off people that I could be engaging. Okay. I'll get to that in just a moment, Matt. That drove me crazy because if I'm not able to build the community because of there's a limitation in talk show is giving an issue, then, that is the case. Oh, okay. Now, Matt brings up a question. He said, if we drop TalkShoe, how will people listen to archive shows? Will they still be listed? And the answer is yes. I can actually upload. My understanding is I still will be able to upload episodes to TalkShoe. Obviously, Matt, I'm not sure if you have been listening long enough or listening while you're not here. But there, I also have an actual website called sfuoncall.com. And that also has a listing of the shows. Both as, it just has, like a blog listing where you can actually click on the link to the podcast. Or you actually can subscribe to the podcast via that link. Now, that's one thing. Actually, I did this week again, which is checking the feed for iTunes, because I finally got into iTunes and to check my podcast, because it's been forever. I got two podcasts currently listed. One of them I've not actually actively been doing anything for over 5 years, probably longer, probably more like 8 years. Because I think I started it up around the same time I started up this one. It was called Franzi's Thoughts. And it was originally designed as a short, quick, here's my thought for the day kind of thing. Or maybe just thought for the week. Like grown-ups are just children with money, It's just understandable. Little goofy things like that. So they would still be available through TalkShoe, but also through the website. I would probably be pushing people towards the website. And actually, that's one thing I have not checked, which is checked with the podcast listing on iTunes on whether they actually can have also a website. You can reference a website on that podcast feed. The information. I'll probably check later. Probably not tonight. Probably tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's worst case Monday, because I'm gonna be pretty busy over the weekend because I'm going to Gamers of Summer. So if you're in the Harrisburg area, look up Gamers of Summer and you will find me. It's a convention. Doug calls it a convention. One thing I really realized from that is it's more of a gaming group that meets twice a year. That's what it is. Doug, he will find us a venue. He will, we'll have some fun with it. We have different contests that occur, which makes it fun. But also, he asks people to put in money. And it's an open group. All you have to do is put in your money. because of he needs us to pay him so that he can get us the actual place, and he doesn't go down the tubes. And because if he's not making money, you know, if he makes a little money, you know, that's great. At the very least, I want him to make sure that he actually comes out even. If he never come, it doesn't at least come out even, you know, through everything, it ain't worth his time. I'm hoping that it'd be always better than even. So it encourages him to continue because I love it. You know, I think it's unfortunately, as Barry said last week, I'm pretty sure he did it on the live broadcast, which is that he will not be able to attend this time because he's just starting up a new job. It's one of the few times I actually get to see Barry in person because he lives down in York. Well, that's not going to be for long. He's going to be moving. Yeah, so I'll probably only be seeing him if he comes up for like Gamers of Winter, or possibly I might be able to see him in October. And I have to look at October. October seems to be like a very, very nuts month for me, because I have my retreat that I'm gonna be a part of. That's number one, and then the next weekend after that is my daughter's friends and family weekend, and then if I recall correctly, also the Council of Five Nations is also in October. It's like the first weekend in October. So if I go to that too, I'm going to have a really crazy freaking month that every single weekend I'm going to be doing something. Either I'm going to be gone or I'm going to be, if I do that, then my first 3 weekends, I'm going to be gone. Of course, it's kind of afford it all. That's the tough part, because if I don't have Barry, I have to pay for my own hotel room. And hotel rooms aren't exactly cheap. That's one of the reasons. The reason I stopped going to Origins was not because of that was too expensive. It's because ADB is quick going, and therefore that actually made it a little too expensive for me, because they actually helped me pay for food. Because we were volunteers, and we actually got credits, you know, these things that you actually could then spend at the food court. And actually, the food court was pretty good. There's one place that I really liked. They had shrimp pad Thai, and it's a Chinese food place made available shrimp pad Thai. And I liked the shrimp pad Thai. I'm not sure if it's real shrimp pad Thai, but it was good. Yeah, it's like the whole idea of Americanized Chinese food isn't really Chinese food. You know, it's not real, authentic Chinese food. Yeah, that whole thing. Because I think, General Tso's chicken is not really something that they usually serve in China. You know, they usually don't fry up things. But, anyhow, moving onward, why don't we get off the subject of SFU on call, which I could probably talk about it for another hour about some of the challenges. But, you know, we will figure this out and see what works best. See what one I like the best at the moment. To me, I kind of like YouTube Live for only one reason. I like YouTube Live because of it's simpler. Because I have one browser, I have Chrome up, and that does everything. Versus, if I do it via Twitch, what I have to do is I have to bring up OBS, have that connect to Twitch, and start streaming to Twitch using OBS. And the question is, again, I still haven't checked to see if you actually can view the stream without having an account. I'm pretty sure you can't actually join the chat without an account. Heck, I'm pretty sure you can't join the chat on YouTube Live without having an account. You know, But Lord knows, a lot of people have accounts on Google, and it's kind of pointless. When it comes to moderation, it doesn't really help all that much, because I'm sure you all guys, everyone who's looked at YouTube videos, not the YouTube videos, but look at the comments about the YouTube videos, you'll see some of the crap that gets put in there. The only thing that stops people from doing that usually is because the YouTube video is just so small. The audience is so small, so limiting, that you don't see it. So, given that, I'm still not 100% on YouTube Live, but again, the whole thing about co-broadcasting, I still have to figure that out if I'm going to continue doing that. Probably not, because as I said, the whole problem with the divided chat rooms. If we do a switch, I will announce it to people. Anyone who's listening, or either from the listening live or the podcast, I will be also posting it up, both in the Twitter and discussion board, possibly even on Facebook, my page there for SFB Online. I'll probably post it there, for all these, and so that anyone, I can get the word out as much as possible. Then possibly change the note on TalkShoe to say, okay, well, we're now doing it over YouTube Live or something like that, or doing it all over on Twitch now. But you still can get the podcast here. But anyway, onward and forward. Andromedans. Big surprise. I pick Andromedans because guess what? I like Andromedans. Oh, shucker! Anyone who knows me knows I like the Andromedans. Obviously, there's so many topics when it comes to the Andromedans. It just kind of blows your mind about it. So, obviously, we can start with the simplest thing, which is, of course, no one knows actually what the Andromedans look like. The only interactions that people have ever had with the Andromedans are not with the Andromedans itself, but they are with the robots which the Andromedans send. And I don't think that... I think there was one story. I was going to say there's no stories about capture of someone and being examined by the Andromedans. And I'm pretty sure there was one, but if I recall correctly, the interactions that were mentioned in there, again, were the robots. Now, that always brings up an interesting question. Are the robots the Andromedans themselves? Or are the Andromedans another being, another living being? Also, that I've always... One of the ideas, there's a couple of ideas that I've always had about the Andromedans. One, I always think that non-corporeal. They actually don't have bodies. So, to me, of course, if they don't have bodies, what does that mean? That means that they're 100%, in our case, I think they're electronic. There are... Now, here's always the question about where do they exist then? Because are they actually in the robots, or they just control the robots? The one idea I've always had about the Andromedans, and I have no way of proving this, I have nothing that actually proves this, but one of the ideas I've always had, which is that the ships themselves are the Andromedans. They exist
enclosed by the actual ships themselves. You know, the brain is in there. You know, it's electronic brain, but it's actually in the ship itself. Now, there's no proof of this. And from my understanding of the ships that have been captured, the tech hasn't, and it's never been figured out. Now, there's nothing to say that the Andromeda itself is not a ship. You know, there's nothing to say that could not be the case. And then if they're captured, they just kind of, they're quiet. You know, or they might suicide. You know, fry a certain circuit and off themselves so they cannot be discovered. Because obviously, I'm sure that you remember how the Sigvarians, they had the issue where people, you know, originally, okay, the Sigvarians, that people didn't realize that they're actually, when they were decontaminating themselves, they actually were killing sentient beings that were living inside the hosts. They weren't the hosts themselves. You know? So, which was interesting. When they found out that, obviously, you know, they freaked out. But this points out that, you know, they didn't know that the Sigvarians were actually the sentient part of them were actually these basically an intelligent virus, which was living inside the hosts, which is. So it was really that much of a foreign concept. Same thing is when it comes to heavy Andromedans themselves being the ships. Now, that whole idea of the ship being a being is not actually that far-fetched. Because there's at least one example. The Landa. Actually, the Landa actually itself, a living, breathing being, the ship, I don't think so. And the brain, you know, that control their kind of minions, which are basically pretty much dumb beings that are controlled by the Olanda. Okay, so actually I was right. Okay, there are wild Olanda like cows. The ones that are grown are basically brainless. Okay. Yeah, so I was going to talk about, Baratheons? Baratheons? Basically, the ones that are, basically, they captured a dragon, you know, a space dragon. And that's their ships, which is interesting. To actually be able to capture a space dragon and then controlling it and having it so that you actually add cybernetics to it, and that becomes your ship. Which, you know, basically that then becomes a symbiotic relationship between the people that are basically riding on top of or beside the space dragon and the space dragon itself. You know. Always interesting. But anyway, moving back to the Andromedas. So those I thought I had. Now, when it comes to the history of the Andromedans, you know, we know that they came from Andromeda. Now, as I'm sure if I had Gary on here, he'd be be happy to be discussing this, which is that, but the Andromedans, you know, they came from Andromeda. It took a long time, and they build this bridge to the LMC. And then the bridge is broken, but the question is always is, will they come back? Because that's one thing I've always thought when it comes to, okay, you got the Andromedans, they come into the galaxy, they never actually improve the ships themselves. They never do. They have a certain technology, never improve the technology itself. Which means, to me, that they're like almost prefab ships. They were created, or the plans were created long before they attacked. Now, I'm sorry, I have a hard time believing that they're going to stay in stasis. That they're not going to improve the weapons, improve the ships, improve the capabilities to, you know, continue to conquer the galaxy. I have a hard time. I really have a really hard time believing that they wouldn't do that. Now, of course, the big issue is time frame. My guess is that the Andromedans, you know, they built up this, they were really advanced at the time when they sent the ships. And they kept on sending the ships. Now, the problem is, I think the big issue is the transit time required for that. And of course, here's another question. Okay. They discovered that at one of the desecrated bases, they were actually building this huge, huge battleship, the Devastator. And they never finished it. Which tells me they're able to build ships themselves. That aren't just being sent. They're also being built. At least in the LMC. At the desecrated bases. There. So, that means that, in my mind, there's a communication is slow, which makes sense between the Andromeda Galaxy and the LMC. And that's why they never were able to prove it. There weren't battle plans brought forward, which tells me, here comes also the big question. If that is the case, to me, that almost seems to indicate that the Andromedans themselves might not ever even be in the ships. The ships might be just programmed, and same for the robots. The Andromedans themselves are still back in their galaxy. So it's almost like what's the Omega? It becomes a D. Darn it. But basically they're brainless. They can build things. They have really developed tactical abilities, but they have no intelligence. Drex, thank you. Thank you, Matt. They have no intelligence. Meaning no intelligence to actually improve the technology that has been created, which tells me there's no intelligence, at least limited intelligence, on those ships, or even at the Desecrator base. Because I have a hard time believing that the Andromedans would see that they're having difficulties and they wouldn't adjust and go, you know, this is not working. So how can we improve the technology that we have? Because it reminds me of the Tholians in that regard. You know, the original Tholians that entered the galaxy fleeing from their home galaxy. They really didn't have the know-how about the technology that they had with them. Right. Matt was just saying, unless while conquering their own galaxy, they have programmed the robots to adapt. Yes. Agreed. Where was I? Yeah, I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't have adjusted at least some if, there was an ability to improve the tech compared to the Tholians. The Tholians, they didn't know how to improve the tech, but they did know they had the facilities and the knowledge to actually create these police cruisers. And then they did some really neat stuff, just creating police cruisers, and then they would connect them together and they create a destroyer like a heavy cruiser. You connect two of them together, you connect like five of them together in a certain way, and you got a dreadnought, which is not quite a dreadnought compared to some other dreadnoughts, but it was considered a dreadnought for them, And at that point in time, when they came, they actually had very advanced systems. They had Phaser 1s before anyone else had Phaser 1s. And I'm sure what their Phaser 1s were not really Phaser 1s. But just like, same for the Andromedans, they have Phaser, they quote-unquote have Phaser 2s, which probably aren't really Phaser 2s. They weren't quite the same technology, but the amount of damage was the same. Phaser 2 is a way to describe the way it actually did damage. The damage table for it. Same thing. And I'm sure the same thing was for the Tholians, where, it's like, this wasn't a phaser. They created something which is like a phaser 1, but really probably wasn't a phaser. The same damage ratio. Because I have a hard time believing that given two separate isolated galaxies, that they're going to create the same technology. It's going to be exactly the same. No. That's why I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. Well, actually, not too much. That is the whole idea of warp. That's one of those constants that occurs in the in Star Trek versus something like Star Wars, where you fly through hyperspace. And I think the only one that actually, who was it? I think it was Einstein. He came up with the idea, basically that wormhole, which could break both time and space. It can actually, that's one of the things it could actually do. So, which is another form of traveling. Now, okay, I'm going to go down that just a little, down that rabbit, chase that rabbit just for a moment. And that is that the whole idea of building a, I was going to say a galactic empire, but a galactic civilization. Let's put it that way. The biggest issue, and I think I brought it before, many years ago, but I brought it up before, which is communication. How do you keep and control? Because I think the Romans, for the most part, had the idea right when it comes to control, which is that you take over a certain territory, but you don't try to take control. what you do is you have you know, the government that's in place still do what it does, and you just pay tribute to Rome, and that's how, you know, Rome would actually would build up. Is that, you know, the states would pay Rome, and of course, if you didn't pay Rome, Rome would then come down and beat your butt and go, okay, well, so you don't be part of the Roman Empire. Let's discuss this, shall we? I think that for galactic civilization, that's going to be the key. Is, you know, I've talked about this, there's multiple ways in science fiction that has been done, you know. So I'll let that go at this point. But you know, when it comes to, you know, Andromedans, you know, okay, they're going to take over. Obviously, why? I don't think anyone really ever found out why the Andromedans were doing what they were doing. You know, a lot of times you don't conquer someone just to conquer them. Usually you conquer them for, there's two goals that you could actually be going towards. One, safety. You conquer your neighbor so that you don't have to worry about your neighbor. That your neighbor will not attack you, conquer you, and basically subjugate you. That's one. Two, it's economic. Now, obviously, conquering a neighbor to have an economic benefit, that's one way of doing it. Obviously, another way is trade. But, you know, that's another possible reason for doing that. You know, short of the Juggernauts, which are basically, my understanding for the Juggernauts the Juggernauts were created by an ancient civilization, and they were, idea is that they would go and destroy their enemies. No. And of course, the question is, what happens? That's always one of those things that, okay, you have a war machine that's designed to kill your enemy. What happens when they kill the enemy and they still exist? And in this case, the Juggernauts exist, and the two people that were fighting no longer exist. Makes an interesting problem. So, you know, why did the Andromedans invade? Were they going to try to take control? And from what we understand, when it comes to the module C3A, you know, actually they did take control. No one knew about the RTN. It wasn't until who was it that came back from the future? Which, again, that's one of the, you can go back in time to a certain time, but the problem is you can't go forward in time after you come back in time. Because when you come back in time, you automatically create a time split. In which case, if you're going to go forward, you actually don't go forward to the time that you knew. The time in the future has then been altered. Little or a lot. Depends. You know, because that's one thing with the continuum that I love to this day. I think they actually got time travel right. They're one of the few ones that I actually agree with time travel. Which is, you have the society that lived outside of basically time, and their whole reason for existing was to try to keep the proper timeline going forward. You know? And, you know, if the timeline went too far off the original timeline that was created, then that would, it just started rippling through. And if you existed in those other timelines, or you were in one of those alternate timelines, then you would then fail. Yeah, you could basically die. So, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, time travel, that's why I never liked time travel. But, you know, they come back and they see the drums have taken over. And it's like, oh, how did they? They did it through the RTN. What's the RTN? This is rapid transmission network that connects all of the bases that the Andromedas include. And this is how you can find them. If they never had that, they would never ever, you know, the Andromedas would have conquered, and what happens then? I don't think that point, you know, when they actually take over, has never been clear about what happened. Other than, of course, they took control. You know, did they then start building? Did they then try build another desecrator basis in the actual Milky Way? Or actually, the case if they took over the Alpha Octant, the question might be a question. Here's the one thing that I'm wondering if AB will ever settle. One, did the Andromedans ever invade the Octant, where those Zerkalians are? Because we all know that the Zerkalians are very paranoid. They do not like outside empires. You know, they're very xenophobic, to say the very least. So the question is, did they ever actually run into them? Because the way I feel like is that even if they took over the Alpha Octant, my guess is that they would have left the Zorkalians alone. I would hope they would have left them alone, because that would have been the smart thing to do. Because we know that they entered the Omega Octant. We know they did that. But we don't know about the Zorkalians. My guess is they had. Now the question is, what information did they find back? And maybe they found out they just got the butt kicked. It's like, okay, let's avoid that. That's the void, that part of the galaxy. And hope they never come for us. Or at that point, you know, then you send back a message saying, hey, we need some help. Or possibly when they first met the Zorkalians and they got their butt kicked, that's when they went, you know, we need more help. We need, you know, some advanced technology. And hopefully that would have been sent on the way way before any distress call. You know, if they had been there for like 100 years, they would have updated their tech at that point. Well, I think we will end it there. You know, I know there's much more we could go on in when it comes to the Andromedans, both as an empire and as the technology, because there's so much that actually we could discuss about them, and about not just how their technology worked, but more to the point of why would you create those systems? You know, because you can understand with the Rin, where they, if I recall correctly, the Rin created a way of transporting ships within their nebula, and go pop 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 pop. That makes a lot of sense. But a displacement device, okay, yeah, you can have it so you move, and tactically it makes a lot of sense. And same, so is PA panels, they make a lot of sense. But then you start thinking about some other things and how the whole thing worked. And why they didn't create other things, when it comes to, like, okay, new seeking weapons? Why? Is it that they decided that seeking weapons were a total waste of resources? Is that why? And they figured direct fire weapons and ships are the way to go? And that was their philosophy? Or what? So, I think we'll wrap up that. We had a nice discussion about the Andromedans and a quick update on the ongoing move when it comes to Starfleet Universe On Call and whether we're going to stay with TalkShoe. Was probably we'll be moving. The question is where and how will that whole thing work? And I'm still looking at it. It's something active. Hopefully by the end of next month, we will make a decision. Or at least I will make a decision because it is mine. So, and with that, I bid you a good night.